Welcome to the All-in-One podcast for middle school language arts teachers. I'm Linda, and I've been a teacher for over 30 years. I can help you with tips, tricks, and motivation that will simplify your planning, streamline your teaching, and enjoy more free time. Well, hey there, it's Linda. If you're listening in real time, you're on your Thanksgiving break. I hope you had a great holiday and that you are doing something for yourself. This time of year is obviously so busy. In the classroom, kids are pretty set in their routines. So I want to use today's topic to encourage you to get out of any routines, though, that are not working for you. Take it from me, there were things that I was doing in class and just going along with the routine, even though I wasn't thrilled with how it was going. And one of those things was vocabulary. And that's what I'd like to talk about today. Before we get into today's topic, I want to make sure that you know that I always mention at least one freebie. In this podcast, I'll be mentioning one that you don't want to miss. I really want to encourage you to sign up for my email list because I do a bunch of freebies, and once I have you on my list, I send them out to you. You'll also be alerted if there's a sale or when I post a new product, and when I post a new product, I usually post it at a very deep discount. So I'll be linking everything in the show notes, so be sure to check it out. Okay, so vocabulary building activities and vocabulary learning strategies can be as boring as you want to make them. I will admit it, I killed vocabulary in the years in my past middle school language arts class. I inherited this list of disconnected words and was told to have kids write these context clue sentences with them every single week. So I thought, hey, let me see what I can do to liven it up a little bit. So one thing that I did was I created a slideshow for the words with engaging example sentences and graphics and little videos. And the kids loved the lessons because, you know, as usual, when I'm teaching a lesson, I'm up there entertaining them. But they groaned when it came time to write their sentences. And I groaned even louder when I had to grade them every week. Well, no more. If you're in a vocab rut like I was, listen in to hear about different ways to spark some creativity in your middle school vocabulary building activities. And I promise it can be done. So we're going to talk today about selecting your vocab list, how having a vocabulary list that is too long is not a good idea. We're going to talk about activities that do not spark creativity. We're going to talk about teaching the words in vocabulary building activities, and finally, student choice for creativity with your vocab. Okay, so let's talk about, first of all, what words are you teaching? First thing you're going to need, obviously, are your vocab list. If you're given free rein on the words you use for your vocabulary building activities, that is a blessing and a curse. First, it's always nice to have some say in what you do with your kids. However, how on earth do you start to curate a list that makes sense for your students? So my students only do a class novel at the beginning and end of the year. Other than that, they were in book clubs and allowed to choose their own books. So therefore, using a vocab list based on a book was not going to work for me. Additionally, even if you start looking at your standards, it gives you way too much choice. They're very, very general. But one thing that does come through is that students will benefit from analyzing word parts. So if you need to start from scratch, it might help to begin with words with common Greek and Latin roots, prefixes, and suffixes. Another way to go about this is to group words by concept. For example, one of our lessons focused on words that were related to bullying in some way, shape, or form. Some example words were like harass, reciprocate, and bystander. So it's my hope, really, that your curriculum department can help you with this. But for me, I was given that free rein, and I am not sure I did the best possible job. I was more consumed with creating cohesive reading and writing units at the time because I really needed to get that done for my class, and that took an inordinate amount of time. There's only so much you can do, and you really should reach out to your curriculum department if you need help with this. So, because quite frankly, it's their job and not yours. So once you have your vocabulary list, you have to remember really here, and again, I don't mean to sound preachy. I'm saying it this way because I made this mistake, but less is more. You have to think about how you're going to manage those lists of words. I believe the biggest mistake is to give lists that are way too long. Many educators feel that 5 words a week is the perfect amount. It's manageable, and the kids can get deeper into the meanings. You can also really focus on a word a day if you want to use it as like a bell ringer. A bell ringer is might be, you might know that as a do now or as an anticipatory set. A helpful idea is to create a word wall for kids and to add to it each week. Once you know your vocab words, this is what I did. I pre-printed them and laminated them, and I formatted them in a table. And then I cut them out, and they were ready to add. You can do this on a Google Doc, and then this way you can just simply, aside from cutting it all out and hanging it, you can just attach it to your digital learning platform. Okay. This way the kids have the words at their disposal for their writing. If you do this, I recommend that you should add them either alphabetically or by lesson, so they have some sense of knowing where to find them. Okay, let's talk about activities that will not spark creativity in your middle school students. One thing to keep in mind is the level of interest for you and your kids. You are listening here probably because you really need some ideas to make it not so boring. So I'm going to give you a list of things that I find to be boring, monotonous, and elicit dread from your kids and you. So you want to steer clear of them. And plus, to be honest, they are ineffective strategies. And again, no judgment. I am guilty on all counts at some point in my career. Okay, so here's the no-fly list. Always having students look up the definition and copy it. Okay, there is definitely a benefit of that, but it is not a benefit to do this every week for every word. Writing the same style sentences every week. I was stuck in the mud with this. Like I said, I inherited this crazy probably an idea from somebody who just came up with it and was trying to survive, you know, teaching and getting in some vocab. And for some reason, I kept doing it. Not a good idea. You don't want kids to memorize definitions. Exactly. I find that to be really detrimental. I find it to really go against what we're trying to teach with comprehension. We really want kids to understand concepts, not to rotely memorize things. Another thing I would steer clear of is memorizing like all these different synonyms and antonyms. That should be something that they should be able to apply by given a choice, not to have to memorize them for some kind of a test or quiz. You don't want to do the same activity every week. Trust me on that one. I did it way too long. And something that I will say I'm not guilty of this, but I have seen people be pretty guilty of this, is when you assign words and you're not teaching them. Kids are not going to learn them on their own. They need you to explain them. They need you to get animated about it, and they need you to have things in front of them that they can see and hear. And that was why one of the things that I guess I did right with those boring list of words that I have was I did try to make slideshows and put in little video clips and song clips that would maybe illustrate what the word was about, and we would talk about it quite a bit. So again and again and again, I keep saying this, no judgment. Sometimes our districts dump way too much on us. It is very difficult to single-handedly come up with a cohesive vocabulary curriculum that is engaging and that works. All right, so let's talk about teaching the words and vocabulary. Like I said at the beginning, the one thing I did along with my co-teachers was to create those engaging slideshows for the students about their words. Each word would get their own slide. I provide the definition because there are too many variations of definitions and some are way too long. So I really don't want kids trying to sift through a dictionary and try to find the appropriate definition that I'm looking for. I would add the part of speech, maybe one or two synonyms and antonyms, and give them an example sentence. I like to use ideas and characters and TV shows and songs and movies in which the kids are currently interested to make it fun. And like I said, adding pictures and video clips when possible is a must. Then, since you are only doing hopefully about 5 words, there is time to have kids share any experiences related to the words. And my 6th graders really love the sharing portion. They would love to talk about vocab words. I think it was part of that was a strategy to procrastinate doing the work that was to follow. But in any event, we had some really good discussion. So make sure that you spend time teaching into the words. Okay, so the key here, after many, many years of struggling with this, was really creativity and choice. So after many years of doing a lot wrong, I have my list in place and created a student choice board as a follow-up to the lesson. On my choice board, I give kids 15 different choices, and it's the same choice board every week, okay? There's something for everybody. What I did was I would put in activities like the Freyer model, roll the dice, something called A to Z, create a theme song, movies and music, sorting, 3 truths and a lie. So they're more game-like here. They're very creative, they're fun, and most importantly, they're reusable to use with any list. I've made them very, very easy to grade, and it doesn't feel monotonous. And the best part, you leave it up. Once you have it, you post it, you leave it up for the entire year. You use it with any vocabulary list. And it is digital, but you could also print out the templates. That's very easy to do for those kids who like to use, you know, paper and pencil and crayons and things like that. So here's how a choice board works. I'm going to try to describe it to you. They get the choice board. It's on their digital learning platform. They open it up and they see the 15 different activities. And they click on the one that they think they might want to use that week. And then what they do is it brings them to a direction page. It's all linked, like I said. So you click it, brings you to the direction page. If you decide that you want to use that activity, you click again and you're given a template and you type right on the template. Okay, it's all created to make a forced copy onto their drive, and it's very, very simple. Once it's made, making it can be a little bit of a bear, but once it's made, it's all set and ready to go. If it seems complicated to make it, it kind of is, but once you make it, you are all set. You keep the grading really, really simple. I grade that on a scale of usually 1 to 5, and it might be a little bit subjective, but the kids know they have to turn in it on time and do their best work and make sure it's all complete. So if you are interested in a vocabulary choice board, I have one on my TPT store, and I will link that in the show notes. But I also have a free sampler. So if you're unsure of, you know, if you want to use it, grab the freebie, see if you like it, and then maybe take a look at the product. Okay? So be sure to tune in next week, because we're going to be talking about managing December in your classroom. It's such a hectic time of year, and I have some tips that will get you through it a lot more easily. Before you go, I want to take a moment to cordially invite you to join my Facebook group. It is really brand new, but it's starting to catch on, and the people who joined are engaged. It's a positive space, a lot of ideas being thrown out that have been very helpful to people. So I would encourage you to join me there. And again, I will leave that link in the show notes. I hope this information was helpful. Be sure to check the links that I mentioned in the show notes. My email is available there as well in case you have questions or comments. You can also DM me on Instagram at allinonemiddleschool. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you in the next episode.